Welcome to 60 Women of the Bible. My name is Nadia, and today we are doing episode 9. Last time we talked about Queen Athaliah, who was the daughter of Jezebel. Clearly, those two women were the most evil and most wicked women of the Old Testament. And today we are going to talk about the most wicked woman of the New Testament. In fact, she was responsible for murdering the greatest man ever born of a woman. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that in Matthew 11, verse 11. And this is what he said. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." Who murdered John the Baptist, or who was behind it? It was Herodias. Clearly a very wicked woman. And before we get into the story, I want you to understand a little bit of background. We did the same thing as when we talked about Athaliah last time to understand the characters that are in the story. I showed you a little bit of a genealogy so that you would be able to follow the story. And I'm sure, ladies, when it comes to Herod, you've all heard of Herod. Well, there's several Herods in the Bible. And the genealogy that I will show you has seven different Herods, and who are mentioned in the Bible, but they all go under different names. So it's really important to show that to you. But before I show that to you, Herodias, what does it mean? Well, Herodias in the Greek means Herodes, which is heroic or hero. And clearly she was named after her grandfather, who was Herod the Great. But Herodias also means to monitor or to watch over. So sometimes names would have multiple definitions or meanings, and it means to watch over or to monitor. And yes, I can say she lived up to her name, because the incident which she watched over or monitored, which was the death of John the Baptist, she did so ever so craftily. And so, yes, she lived up to her name. So before we get into the story, here is a picture. I want to show you this picture, the genealogy of Herodias. Now, the thing is that a lot of people are left out of this genealogy. It's in simplified form, but I want you to understand that this was a dysfunctional family. Just as much as Jezebel and Athaliah's family was dysfunctional on that side, on the king, on the kings of Israel side, the same was true with the Herodian family. Now, as I mentioned, there's seven different Herods. You see Herod the Great at the top. Herod the Great, he was responsible, of course, in Matthew chapter 2, for the death of all the young infants, all the male infants ages 2 and under. And so, you know, as you look at this chart, he had 10 wives. So on the first level of boxes, you will see 5 of his wives' names. Those are the 5 that we know of, but he had 10. And what we know about Herod the Great is that he was especially towards the end of his life, he became insanely suspicious. He murdered family member after family member. He was a violent and jealous man. And he also executed 2 of his sons. One of them happens to be Herodias's father. So you will see on the next level of boxes are the children. So that would have been his children. First level are the wives. Second level, the children. And you will see that Aristobulus was the father of Herodias, which happens to be on the next line. So he was one of Herod's victims, so you know. And that's what he did. He would murder people because he was always afraid of his throne, a little bit like Queen Athaliah. She murdered her entire family to make sure she secured the throne. But that's what he was about. He liked to manipulate. And so you see right below on the third level of boxes is Herodias. Herodias was the granddaughter of King Herod the Great. And clearly we see that, you know what, as she didn't have scruples like You know, she had the same kind of scruples her grandfather had. She was into manipulation. She was into killing, as we will uncover in this story. So nothing new under the sun with Herodias and this kind of dysfunctional family. Now you'll see the blue line, the first short little blue line. She married her uncle Herod Philip the First, you see? And so he was the half-brother of her father, which is right next to his name. She married him. Now, you know what? He wasn't some great political figure, but he was a wealthy citizen of Rome, but he had no political aspirations. But they did have a daughter, if you look on the last row of boxes, Salome, if you see that right at the bottom left. Now, Salome, she was the one that danced for Herod. Now, her name is not mentioned in the Bible, but Josephus, which is a historian who speaks a lot about the things that happened during biblical days and gives facts outside of the Bible, he named her as Salome, and that's how we know that was her name. Now, she ended up, as you see, there's a blue line going all the way up to Herod Philip II. So she married her great uncle. So her mother marries the uncle, and her, you know, she herself, she marries a great uncle. So can you see how just dysfunctional this family was? Now, back to Herodias. Just look at that picture right there. You see that, of course, there's another blue line going to Herod Antipas. And what had happened was he came to visit, he was the ruler of Galilee. He came to visit Rome, where his brother Philip was and Herodias, and spent some time there, but he had a relationship with Herodias. So what did he end up doing? He divorced his wife, and then he married Herodias, and he took her as his own wife and took Salome along with him, and they went back to the Galilee. So long story short, ladies, as we see this picture, very dysfunctional. This was something that was a scandal back then because she married the brothers and it was just not a good thing. So let's read the story to understand. Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 28. Now King Herod, which Herod was this? It was Herod Antipas, okay? This is her second husband. So, which was Herodias's uncle, okay? Heard of him referring to Jesus, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod on his birthday gave a great feast for his nobles, the high officers and chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias's daughter herself, this was Salome, came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. Wow. What an incredibly sad story. A very sad story. And we see in this story several different factors that are involved. There's adultery, there's manipulation, temptation, there's fear, there's bitterness, there's self-centeredness. And I tell you, this is exactly what Herodias was all about. And how did this all begin? Well, it began because John the Baptist called them out on their sin. In verse 18, because John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Wow. The risks of calling sin out. Think about that. I mean, we know John the Baptist went around preaching. He told everyone to repent, and he didn't care where they were in their hierarchy of life. And he told Herod exactly as it was. He wasn't afraid. And I'm sure he didn't realize that he was going to be beheaded, because this all happened very quickly. But if he had to do it all over again, he would go through it. Why? Because those that followed Christ, from the apostles, all the ones who died and martyred and were martyred for the sake of Christ, they were glad to die for Christ. And in reality, John the Baptist, same thing here. He would do it again. Why? Because he stood for righteousness. Today, when it comes to calling sin out, people don't like calling sin out. In fact, churches today, they don't want to talk about sin. Some churches completely leave that word out. They don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about blood, the blood of Jesus. They don't want to talk about repentance. They don't want to talk about atonement or the cross. It's all a feel-good message, the feel-good gospel. Oh, you don't want people to feel bad coming to church. You want them to feel good and just leave. And with that message of just, I'm okay. And in reality, we have to call sin, sin. And there's that reason for that. There's people today that, of course, preachers today, they just want to tolerate that word. So much so that they don't want to use the word sin, but they might call it a mistake. Oh, you have mistakes. There are people out there that even end up saying, well, you know what? When it comes to my past, I have no regrets. No regrets? Do you know people who say that? Oh, I don't regret my past. Oh, you know, it makes me who I am today. Are you kidding me? If you are a child of God, you have to regret your past. If we don't have any regret, there is no repentance. Of course, you know what? God uses that, and he works all things together for good to those that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, and he works things out. And yes, there's an appointed time of when we get saved. But let me tell you something. I regret my sins of the past. I regret my sins of even yesterday, because we sin every single day, whether willingly or unknowingly. And there always has to be a coming to Christ, coming to repentance, asking for forgiveness. And today's gospel is, for some churches, it's not even a gospel. It's a watered-down gospel, because they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to call sin out. And in this story, John the Baptist called out Herod, called out Herodias, and they didn't like it. This was interfering, especially with Herodias. This was interfering with her life. She wanted to get rid of John. So much so. So you can imagine, the Bible says in verse 17, Herod bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias. For the sake of Herodias. Understand this. Again, a woman has a great influence, just like Athaliah had an influence on her husband. And he came from a very good heritage, a very good family. King Jehoshaphat was his father who followed the Lord. King Asa was his grandfather who followed the Lord with all of his heart and did good things in the sight of God. But let me tell you something. You know, when you are aligned with somebody that shouldn't be there, you're going to end up, you're going to end up compromising. And Herod bound John the Baptist, put him in prison for Herodias' sake. So you can only imagine what was going on behind the scenes. They don't talk about this, but I'm sure she was arguing with Herod. She was pushing her way. She was angry. She wanted him dead. And Herod was protecting him. So in order to quiet Herodias, it's like, okay, I'll put him in prison. But He was enjoying listening to John the Baptist. So see how much influence she had. And she probably resented her husband. Why? Because he was gladly from time to time hearing him. And he enjoyed listening to John the Baptist. So he protected him, the Bible says. She resented that. She was angry. She knew she could do nothing because she was just the wife. But you see, when you have evil on your heart, evil can grab a hold of you with its ugly fangs and start to pull you down if you're not careful. And that's exactly what happened to her. So she wanted to rid John of his critical voice. And what happens? She allows her daughter to dance provocatively before her husband, before all the people. And here was a mother who should be watching out for her daughter, protecting her daughter, like any good mother would protect their daughter. But no, she couldn't care less. She let her daughter dance provocatively. Why? Because she had her own agenda of manipulation, her self-centeredness, her vile, excuse me, obsession. And so where was Herod? Herod, he drank too much, he lusted too much, he partied too much, and he promised too much, and it got him into trouble. And just like Queen Athaliah, because again, I like making reference to that because we're just talking about these two. They both, Herodias came from a royal family, so did Athaliah. They both had husbands who were weak and they tried to manipulate. They both tried to do and whatever they could to get their own way. They had evil ways about them. You see the similarities that are there. And what's really sad is that Herodias used her child, her daughter, as a weapon, as a tool to get what she needed. You're not supposed to be using your children as a weapon or a tool, but that's exactly what she did. Ladies, think about this. Sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we can fall into that category of using our children as a tool just to get what we want. Think about it. Have you ever, for example, maybe you're home, you don't want to be bothered, you don't want to speak to a certain person, somebody calls or shows up at the door and you tell little Johnny, hey Johnny, just go tell them I'm not home. Okay, so Johnny does that. He answers the phone, she's not home, or answers the door, she's not home. We're using that child as a tool to manipulate for our own agenda, for our own laziness, for our own avoidance. Sometimes, for example, if you went shopping, you bought something you shouldn't have bought, your child is with you. It's like, don't tell dad. Don't tell dad. Yeah, I spent $500, but don't tell him. You're using your child as a tool to get your own way. And you're teaching them. You're teaching them the wrong things. And not only that, you're teaching them deception. You're teaching them lying. So, you know, on an everyday scale, these things can happen. As we see this happen to Herodias, on an uglier scale, it can happen to us if we are not careful. What about using our children as a weapon? That happens. How many times do wives sometimes say, well, you know what? My husband's not agreeing with me, so I'm just going to send little Johnny and he's going to talk some sense into dad and try to persuade him, try to change his mind. You're using your child to get what you want. And we see that sometimes in divorces. The children are pitted right in the middle of everything and they get hurt the most. Weapons, tools. Herodias, you know what? Nothing stopped her. Nothing stopped her to the point where she used her daughter's own body. Think about this. Her daughter's own beauty and body. Yeah, be provocative. Can you imagine what mother would say, yeah, go do that and lead their children astray in such a way? You know, today we see how many women, and this is a whole other topic, but how many women use their beauty and their body to get their own way. There's a lot of women out there, and you know what? I tell you something, it only leads to destruction, whichever way. You can think, that they seemingly get away with it for momentary pleasures, but down the road they will suffer greatly. That's why a couple of weeks back when I talked about Abigail, she had beauty, she had wealth, she had those things, but she never used that. She didn't use that to change David's mind, to have him stop his murderous rampage of Nabal's household. No, she used wisdom and she used herself as a self-sacrifice. Oh, let this iniquity be upon me. This is the kind of humble woman she was. And that's why she's enshrined as one of the Old Testament's greatest women of God. It was her character, and we see that. And so in this story, we look at this story and we say, okay, how can we apply this to our own lives? What do we learn in this story? Well, first and foremost, we got to understand something. Despite our background, we're responsible for who we come or who we become. We're responsible. So whatever kind of background you have, you are responsible for it. You know, sometimes it's so easy to point our finger at how we were raised. You know, again, Athaliah had Jezebel as her mother, and she could have turned it around because King Jehoram was a good man initially before he killed his six brothers, which she had an influence on, but she could have turned it around. The same thing here with Herodias. She could have turned it around. You know, my husband watches so many shows, sometimes crime shows, and you end up seeing that, oh, this person went on this spree of killing people because they had this in their childhood, that in their childhood. Listen, not everybody who's abused in their childhood becomes serial killers. There's a choice. Everybody has a choice. God gives us a choice. And so here we look at Herodias. You know, Athaliah or Jezebel, when we think of Jezebel, she was out to kill the prophet Elijah. Here, Herodias was out to kill the prophet also, the prophet John the Baptist. And so you can come from that terrible family, but you can turn it around. Oh, we can break that cycle. We can break those chains with the power of God, trusting in God and saying, yes, it ends here. What does 2 Corinthians 10:4 says? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. So in other words, yes, this can happen. The buck stops here. This is not going to continue. So no matter what our past is, don't blame your past. You have a choice today how you're going to serve God, how you're going to turn away from alcoholism or abuse or whatever it is. There's that choice by the power of God and by the help of God. These things are able to be broken. And here we look at Herodias, her whole ambition. You see, she was an ambitious woman. Like Athaliah was, she was ambitious. You know, she was married to her first husband, Philip, but he was just, you know, a wealthy man. He wasn't into politics. She wanted to get into politics. So she married Antipas. And you got to realize, sometimes doing these kinds of things, there will be a price to be paid. And what was her price? Well, people start to talk about her. People in Galilee, oh boy, you know, she married both brothers. This doesn't look very good. And so we realize, you know, this is the thing about sin. The thing about sin is that regardless of your accolades, and we see this today with what's happening in the world, sometimes even with preachers, they can have all the accolades, all the honors, all the applause of men, all these things. And people are, yay, 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 this person is so great. But then for one disillusional gratification, they fall. And all of a sudden, the rest of it is wiped away. And they have a life of misery. And that's how they are remembered. Wow. Think about that. Here was Herodias. How was she remembered? Yes, she's remembered as the woman who was responsible behind the beheading of John the Baptist. But she was also responsible, and this is why, ladies, our influence is very important. She was also responsible of what happened to Agrippa, her husband. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but in reality, or sorry, Antipas, Agrippa was her brother. I should have pointed that out. I'm going to just put this up on the screen here for a second. As you see, she had a brother, and his name was Agrippa, Herod Agrippa the First. That was her brother, so he was of great prominence. Now, later on, she wanted her husband, Antipas, to have that position. So what did they do? They went to Caligula, they went to the emperor, they wanted that, he refused, and you know what? Antipas ended up being exiled because of it. So that was the downfall of Antipas. Who was Antipas? Well, he's found in Luke chapter 23. He was the Herod responsible at Jesus's trial. So you see how many Herods are floating around in the New Testament. It can get very confusing. But we see what happened with Herodias, the kind of influence that she was. Wow. Not a legacy to leave. Ladies, we want to be and be women that leave a great legacy, a legacy of love and security, a legacy where we gave inspiration to others. This is not what Herodias did. The legacy that she led or left was one of perversion and one of murder. She could have changed that around. And this is the thing. And you know what's worst of all? In the end, because it's not just how she lived, but it always has to do with the afterlife. She lost it all. She could have had that opportunity just to repent and just to take heed to John the Baptist's words, but she didn't. And so what's going to come? Judgment and eternity. What does 2 Corinthians chapter 5 say? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so we see, yes, she had a dysfunctional family, but yes, she could have changed it. She could have decided, you know what? I need to listen to the words of John the Baptist, which brings me to my second point. Really important what we learned today. Second point, will you listen to the message or try to kill the messenger? She should have listened to the message. It would have changed everything around. Look, she missed it. She missed it. She didn't like being called out on adultery. And then Herod also wanted to kill John. Matthew 14:5 says, so it's always important to do little cross references in scriptures. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. Back to Mark chapter 6, verse 20. For Herod feared, there's the word feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Oh my goodness, fear. Do you see how wishy-washy Herod was? He was wishy-washy. Fear of the Jews, fear of John to some respect, fear of the people at the banquet. It ended up causing him to be wishy-washy. Ladies, don't be wishy-washy. Fear always. If it has a hold on us, it will take us in the wrong direction. And so if he stood on the right principles, there would have been a different ending to all of this. And so what does he do? What happens? We know the story. The banquet happens. Herodias's daughter Salome dances before him, and all the people see, of course, he invited all the diplomats, all the important people of that day, and everybody's drunk and happy, whatnot. He gets enticed. He offers her up to half the kingdom. She runs straight to her mother. What do I do? But look, see Herodias, how she was. You know, she couldn't touch John. But verse 21 says, chapter 6, then an opportune day came when Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles. The opportune day came. You see, she was planning the entire tower. How are we going to do this? Let's figure this out. She couldn't touch John, but the opportune day came. Oh, she knew what she wanted. Oh, wow. And then, of course, she tells her daughter, the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Wow. Great mom, great legacy. Wow, what a family, unbelievable. And what's interesting was that Herodias was ready for her response in this. Now, you got to understand, she was so offended with John. Some time had passed, and I want to point this out to you ladies, very important. Time had passed. We don't know how much time, but when John said, hey, this is unlawful, time had passed. And so the smart thing would have been just to let it go. Let it go. She didn't let it go. What happens when you are angry? The Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. It says in Ephesians, she let the anger turn into bitterness. Bitterness turned into hate, and hate turns into murder. And look, we see, of course, you know, Herodias, she had a great ought against John, and it just grew and grew and grew until she plotted murder. She couldn't do anything about it, but she gets her daughter to do the bidding. And so what's interesting is there's Salome dancing provocatively before Herod, and she's offered up to half the kingdom. Ladies, think about it. Her daughter being offered up to half the kingdom. Half the kingdom? How many women would have just said, okay, see ya, forget about mom. I'm just gonna take whatever I can get here. But no, you see how evil, how much influence Herodias had on Salome that, you know what? I'm just gonna go back to my mom. If you can give her anything, she was obedient to her mother, I'll tell you. But she went back to her mom. She didn't argue with Herodias when Herodias said, you know what, forget about half the kingdom. Let's ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. She didn't say, no, why that? Let's ask for half the kingdom. We'll split it. Like, you know, this is how evil this was. And interestingly, she never argued about it. It shows how evil Salome's heart must have been. Same thing with Athaliah. Remember last time I told you that Athaliah advised her son, King Ahaziah, to do wickedly. And he did. And he listened to his mother. He did wickedly. You see the kind of influence we have on our children. When we teach them right, you know, it might not guarantee everything, but they have that option. And they have a greater chance of following God. I don't want to use the word chance, but you know what I'm saying. And so look what happens when Herodias says, head on the platter, verse 25. Look at this, three places, how fast all of this took place. Immediately, number one, she came in with haste. This is how fast. It's like, yes, this is happening. We're finally getting his head on this platter. Immediately, she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on the platter. And here, you know, Herod was so distracted with all of this that he didn't even know what he was saying. And he was so sorry that he did that. Clearly, it says that he had to keep his promise. He didn't want in front of all the people because they would look at him and say, wow, this is a man who doesn't keep his promises. And so he had to do it. He had to have the head on the platter. Wow. So do you ignore the message and kill the messenger? Think about it, ladies. Herodias had that chance. She could have decided, you know what? He talked badly. Okay, badly. In the sense, she may have thought it was bad, but John the Baptist was speaking truth to her. She could have received it as something bad and then just maybe skirted over it. Or she could have decided, you know what? That's so true. I repent of this. Look at Simon the Sorcerer. How many of you remember the story Simon the Sorcerer from Acts chapter 8, when he wanted to buy these gifts, and Peter got so angry, the gifts of the Spirit, Peter got so angry with this and told him to repent. And in fact, in verse 23, he says, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And then Simon the Sorcerer repented. Different scenario for him, in the sense that he repented. He did what was right. Look at this. She was clearly poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity, but Herodias didn't turn around. You know, are we moved with godly sorrow? I talked about this before, about regretting our past. When you regret, you are moved with godly sorrow. What does it say as I close here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11? For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. Wow. That's what happens when we recognize we've gone astray. Ladies, what do you do when somebody confronts you, when you have gone astray, when you've gone wrong? Sometimes and often it could be our spouse, because they are the closest ones to us, or our family members. Do we just say, I'm not going to listen to them? Or do we listen? Do we listen and take note and self-examine? A soft heart does that. We need to be corrected. One of my favorite proverbs is, the wounds of a friend are faithful, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Proverbs 27:6. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, some people are flattering you with all kinds of kisses, but they hate you. But the wounds of a friend are faithful. When somebody really loves you, when somebody cares about you, they will tell you, listen, you better stop this, because otherwise you're going to go down a bad path. And you need to change this now. See it. Pray about it. Wounds of a friend are faithful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend in New King James. But I tell you something. The Bible says, whom the Father loves, he chastens. We need to be chastened. We need to self-examine. We need to see. And you know, as I close here, ladies, in the end, John the Baptist, between the war of Herodias and John the Baptist lost in this life, not in the next one. He won. Herodias won in this life, but in the next life, she never repented. Oh, the importance of looking at our hearts. And this is what we learned today, ladies. We need to look at our hearts. We have to stop blaming the past of who we are today, of some kind of dysfunction within our family, or I'm this way because of this or that. We have to examine again. The buck stops here, and change starts now. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, for, again, your word, Lord, that speaks to our hearts, Lord. Even the people, Father, who are evil in the Bible, Lord, they serve as warnings, they serve as admonitions in our lives, oh God. But most of all, Jesus, we just want to look within us, Father. And Lord, if there are things that should not be there, Father, help us to see it. Lord, help us to listen to godly people when they point things out to us. And sometimes, Lord, we're so blind that, Lord, we always think that we may be right, oh God. But Lord, help us, Father. Help us to be, Father, just so easy to see our sins, Lord, and repent of them and change our ways. Because, Lord, we want to walk in an upright manner. We want to be holy. We want to be pure before you, oh God. And so, Lord, examine our hearts today, Lord. And Father, for those of us, Lord Jesus, we might see some things in other people that we dearly love, but we're afraid to even confront. And Lord, John the Baptist was not afraid to speak out. And Lord, sometimes we're afraid of that confrontation. I pray for the boldness and the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, for whoever's watching right now, if they feel that they need to confront someone, give them that boldness, give them the words, give them the wisdom to speak life into that other Christian's heart, or maybe it is a non-Christian, Lord. Father, Lord, you are calling us to be ambassadors. You're calling us to spread your word. You're calling us, oh God, to bring others into the kingdom. And so, Father, use us and help us to learn from Herodias, her mistakes, Lord. And Father, Lord, I just pray that you bless our ladies today. Bless them, bless our families, oh God. And Lord Jesus, we just give you our lives once again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. I was able to do this all in one episode. I know the last couple of episodes, characters that I've spoken on, it's been a two-part thing, but I praise God I was able to do this in one. But I pray that this gave you some food for thought today. So much to learn about in the Word of God, ladies. Continue to read, continue to pray, continue to just delve into His Word. And just remember, make today count in the kingdom of God, because every day counts in eternity. For millions and gazillions of years, that's how much every day counts. So make today count. Bless each and every one of you, ladies. Until we meet again, God be with you and your families. Bye for now.